This is On Second Thought. I'm Celeste Headlee. This week, the Department of Education released a nationwide mandate about the treatment of transgender youth. Schools who deny transgender students access to bathrooms, locker rooms, and other facilities could face lawsuits or lose federal funding. Atlanta Journal-Constitution reporter Eric Sturgis joins us now. Good morning, Eric.
Good morning.
Can you just explain what is in this mandate from the Department of Education and what it means?
Sure. The mandate, federal officials said they had been working on for several months beforehand. It says that transgender students should be allowed to use restrooms, locker rooms, and other facilities that fit their gender identity. It does also say that schools can make what they describe as individual user options for students, for all students who seek such privacy, or, you know, or another term that's been used is gender neutral facilities.
I understand there's an option for schools that could afford it to have bathrooms set aside.
Correct. Yes. In the case of one school like Cobb County and Walton High School, they have what they call a gender neutral facility that students can use, because at that school there is a transgender student that we have previously interviewed, Eris Sage Lovell, who has that accommodation available to her.
Now, one of the criticisms of policies like this has been that any student at any point could decide, well, today my gender identity is male, yesterday it was female, and so I'm going to go into a different bathroom. What guidance do schools get, if any, on how to identify transgender youth and when that distinction is made?
Well, the terminology, the guidelines in the directive, you know, is that, you know, that students should be, as they say, a transgender male is someone who identifies as male but was assigned the sex of female at birth, while a transgender female is someone who identifies as a female but was assigned the sex of a male at birth. So in those cases, you know, they're relying upon what the student identifies himself or herself to be. And the federal government is asking schools just to rely upon what the student identifies with, and allowing them to use whatever facilities that they feel best fit that identity.
The punishment here, one of them that's threatened, is losing federal funding. How does that work? What does a school have to do or not do to be in danger of losing funds from the government?
In that instance, if the school has to, or the school district can say, well, you know, we are not going to abide by these federal guidelines, and then, you know, under the federal's Title IX Act, the federal government could act by taking measures such as removing their funding. Georgia receives about $2 billion a year in federal funding. The numbers for each school district in Georgia vary. There are 181 school districts in Georgia, so the numbers do vary there. But, you know, there are some people in Georgia who are asking the state to, or their school district, to consider that. I know there have been some lawmakers nationwide, like the lieutenant governor of Texas, who has suggested that Texas forego that federal funding.
And look, here in Georgia, it's already caused a problem. We have some relatively prominent state politicians who said they're going to fight this to the very end. What does that mean as far as you understand it? Do we expect either the state of Georgia or some individual school districts to file suit?
It's a possibility. I know that there have been discussions right now among state leaders, and right now the governor has asked the superintendent, Richard Woods, to take a closer look at the policy and to issue guidance to school districts about what to do about this directive. There haven't been any full-scale discussions as yet, as we're aware of, about, you know, any legal action that may take place, but right now I think there is a lot of discussion going on amongst school districts because they're still trying to get a better understanding of what these guidelines are and what and how they would have to adhere to it if they decide to do so.
Have there been issues in Georgia schools in the past with transgender students in bathrooms? The issues that people keep saying are a danger, issues of sexual assault, issues of inappropriate conduct. Has that come up?
We are aware of very little of that discussion or those types of issues. As I mentioned, when the directive was first issued on Friday, we did interview a student in Cobb County and asked about her experiences. And she said in one instance, she was directed to go to a men's room, and she said she felt very uncomfortable there and even cried there. But in general, you know, the school has set aside a gender-neutral facility that she can use. And so she said in general she's had very few issues, but that was one issue that she did cite.
Does this mandate go into effect immediately? I know a lot of schools are letting out for the summer, but is it basically in effect now?
Well, it is in effect, and it is considered a directive and not necessarily a law. But as we had discussed, there is a danger of losing that federal funding. But right now, it is considered the federal government's policy, and schools should adhere to it.
The difference being that a law has to be passed by Congress and then signed by the president. This is a directive that came from the Department of Education, which oversees all the schools, which means it's still a rule. It's just not a law. But Eric, you've been reporting on this issue at least for a little while. You're not expecting it to go away.
Yes, there are several school districts that are having discussions about this. There is a Tea Party group who has been asking their supporters to reach out to school board members, in particular in Gwinnett County, to raise awareness and ask questions about this directive, how they will adhere to it, if they will, and should they adhere to it.
Okay, Eric Sturgis is an education reporter for the AJC. Eric, thank you.
Okay, thanks.